Hello, podcast listeners. Thank you for tuning in to the Lifebook Podcast. Jordan River here. Welcome to Life Vision Month. We are here at the end of 2019. I hope you're having a wonderful time crafting your life vision. One of my favorite categories to do interviews for, I must admit. And we have a very special guest today from Mind Valley, the chief people officer at Mind Valley, someone who studies the life vision category very carefully. Ezekiel Vicente is on the line. How are you doing, Ezekiel?
Doing great, Jordan. Thanks for having me here. And for everybody who's listening, welcome to last challenge of the year.
Yes, that's right. We're going to do the Life Vision Challenge today. We're going to talk about Ezekiel's wisdom, what he's picked up from working so long with so many interesting people and helping them with their life visions. Ezekiel, it's really interesting the role you play in the interesting company, Mind Valley. You consider yourself kind of like a therapist over there, do you not?
Yeah, I guess a lot of people always assume like, well, what does that even mean when you say chief people officer? If I had to speak to business people, I would say, yeah, you combine operations with people, with culture, with organization, and with leadership. And you kind of have a bit of an idea of
that's cool.
What my role is really all about. A big chunk of what I do is actually working on, for lack of a better term, it's like working on the soul and the identity of the organization, the teams, and also the individual people inside Mind Valley. So I work a lot one-on-one with people and paying homage to like the belief system of Mind Valley that if you focus on people's personal transformation and personal growth, everything naturally takes care of itself, including career. So I spend a lot of time working with one-on-one with people, not in their careers, but actually in their personal lives.
That's so cool. That's really something that it's cool that Mind Valley thinks about that stuff and kind of pays attention to that kind of stuff. And it has to be pretty rewarding, right? Like that's got to be a rewarding position.
Yeah, it is incredibly rewarding. You get to see the lives of so many different people. And at the same time, it really enriches my own human experience because it's like compounding life experiences within yourself. Even though you haven't fully experienced what other people have, it already adds to your own sense of inner wisdom to make decisions and also evolve your own way of living. So you could say that I'm actually extremely fortunate that I'm learning about life through this like 300, 400 people that I tend to interact with on a regular basis.
That's really cool. I kind of feel the same way on this show. Like sometimes I will remember stories people tell and I'll be like recounting them like firsthand almost. You know what I mean? Like Yeah. You're right. You get to draw from these experiences. You get to grow through others' work and through others' dreams. So that's really cool.
Yeah, it is.
Let me ask you, you've probably picked up a lot of interesting information and wisdom and probably some pretty incredible principles working so closely with, you know, so many thousands of people on their life visions. What are some common traits? What are some common themes that you see when you're working with these people, talking about their dreams, talking about their personal visualizations for the future?
So here's something that So I've been guiding people, not just in Mind Valley, but also outside of Mind Valley, like executive leaders, business leaders in their own personal lives as well, and helping them sort out sometimes called the mess of life. And what I would say is that their life visions evolve a lot. And people who I know are like some of the most amazing people and are doing really great in their lives are people whose life visions don't necessarily translate to something that's far away from them, like maybe 5, 6, 10 years away, but more like something that they could already choose to live today.
Yes, I love that. Can you give me an example of that or dive into that a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. So, and to do this, I'll talk a little bit about what I've noticed. And it's fascinating that I'm really thankful to Lifebook because it's really made some of my one-on-one coaching and like therapy sessions much easier because it provides a lot of structure to a lot of the conversations.
Well, open your life vision page. Exactly. Yeah. Well, let's take a look at your premise in the spiritual. Yeah, I like that.
Oh, trust me, like the part I really shoot down the most is the premise part. and I'll get to that in a bit later on. But what I noticed with people is that the first time they write Lifebook, and this is specifically in Mind Valley, they write their life book first, and all of their goals, they tend to skim by the premise section. They write down whatever they can think of because it's not normal for people to constantly re-examine their beliefs. So they just write down whatever mm-hmm. they can feel like is already there. And then they start writing goals or visions based on not necessarily those premises, but more of what do they think is a good vision, is a good goal for this category. Mm-hmm. And that usually translates to something that if they reach this, then they'll be happy. Mm-hmm. But what tends to happen there is after the first year of pursuing living the Lifebook lifestyle, the whole Lifebook has to change. Like they start seeing like, oh, I achieved this specific goal in this category. It actually didn't feel that good to me. Or I was pursuing something related on the love and relationship category. And I dated somebody who seems to, I thought, fulfill this criteria, only to realize that this criteria that I wanted in a relationship does not even make sense anymore.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And then that part, they have to rewrite their entire Lifebook. And the second time around looks completely different from the first one.
Totally. Absolutely.
Yeah. And then the third time around that I notice is they stop writing things such as, oh, I have this home in this place and this year. And it starts becoming more of a state kind of goal where they start saying things like, I live in a home that gives me peace and feels at home and feels safe.
I like that. I hate to butt in, but I feel like this is a good time to ask this. We got a really incredible question from a Lifebook member asking about how attached we should be to the details of your life vision.
Yeah.
And I think while details are often nice and good little, you know, guiding points, what you're saying is more of a principle-based approach. And principles are so nice because they fit in so many different systems. Does that make sense?
Yeah, correct. Yeah, which is basically like saying, hey, I could be living in a home right now, which is like maybe a very small home, but every time I come home to it, I feel like I'm being recharged and I feel like this is my energy and I feel that this makes me feel like I'm safe and I can be just myself every single
totally.
Day.
Yeah.
But that home can upgrade. That can become a mansion in 5, 6, 7, 8 years, but it should still feel exactly the same.
I like that a lot.
So you're giving it space to evolve, but the fundamental feelings behind it are still the same.
Mm-hmm. I like that a lot, man. That's very, very poignant and powerful.
Yeah, and one of the things that I like to use as a, I don't know, kind of like a philosophical point of view to look at these things is I really teach my clients to think about their life from the perspective of paintings and frames. So, you know, like a painting is, if you look at a painting and it's really, really great and amazing, it really grips at your soul. But a painting without a frame, maybe a bird will like poop on it and it'll catch dust and then it'll die out.
Right.
But if you put the right frame on it, it won't just protect the painting, but it allows it to like last the test of time. And if it's in the right design of the frame, in the right museum room, it really brings out the essence of the painting as well. So a lot of people in the world hang on too much to the frame rather than the painting. And the frame is basically like, oh, I want to be rich. And they say they want to be rich and have this much money. But what they're really looking for is they want to feel that they can afford any type of lifestyle that they want.
The freedom.
They want a fulfilling. Okay. Yeah, the freedom. That's what they're asking for. And what I tend to throw at people a lot is like, guys, focus on the painting. Change the frames to fit the painting. Don't let the frames dictate how your life is going to be. And for a lot of people, that's really hard. People find that very difficult to do because you're born in a world where everybody focuses too much on the frames, the labels, and whatever it is that seems to like make society operate the way it does.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I think you'll also find, or a lot of people will probably find in doing that exercise, that they'll become more satisfied where they are. So if you don't ever define those things, like for instance, you said a tranquil home. If you don't ever define those things and then maybe realize that you can achieve a lot of those things in your current situation, you may be sitting dissatisfied when all it takes is a kind of clarification of specifics and a change in perspective, a shift in perspective, and then suddenly you're on top of the world. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there's a reason why they said like eternity in bliss is in the now if you choose it to be.
Yeah, I like that. I like that a lot. When it comes to life visions, when you're working with so many different people, I have to ask you, you're the perfect person to ask this. Do all life visions have to be grand and big and daunting? Because I feel like sometimes people get that feeling, like maybe if they're not doing that, they're missing out on something. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, if you try to stick with it with like, if you try to follow a more principles and painting rather than frame-based approach to your life book, then what is grand and what is daunting in the first place? If I tell you that I want to feel every day that I can express love freely to everybody, that I wish to express love to every single day, is that grand? Is that really so big? Not really.
No, not when you simplify it. Like, it certainly can't. It allows that, but it doesn't have to be.
Exactly. Yeah. And to be honest, from the people that I've worked with, and this is by no chance like a stereotype, but the people who I've worked with who have the most, I don't want to say like materially grand life visions, are also the people who struggle the most.
Oh, wow. Interesting. That is interesting.
They tie so much of their sense of like freedom and self-satisfaction on things that are so outside of themselves that for as long as they don't have it, they don't feel at peace.
Mm-hmm. That's tough, especially because a lot of the times getting those things doesn't bring the peace that you often think it might.
Yeah.
Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. Yeah. It's like you find peace in the process of the... You may be inspired by something that's far away, but peace is found in the day-to-day of what you do and how you live your life. And that's why a lot of people, I just tell them like, hey, like if you're really trying to paint a life vision, what would that look like? What do you feel about this category if it was already today? What feelings would you like to have today?
Mm-hmm.
And then that already stumps a lot of people because they don't even think about that.
Right, right. And don't you feel it also has like a... This kind of bleeds over into the... kind of just no matter what your position, do it to the best of your abilities. Like bring yourself to your situation as if it is grand every single day. I don't care if you're sweeping floors, try to be the best floor sweeper, the happiest floor sweeper, the most positive floor sweeper on the face of the earth. Like that's really, like you said, that's the journey. That's the challenge. Yeah. And that's where the growth lies, I feel. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, it does. And I think the challenge really is that for people to realize that you're making a life vision and you're comparing it to what? Like you're comparing life visions. Don't compare life vision with somebody else. Compare
yes.
life vision based on what your previous version of the life vision was.
Oh, that's great.
And then that's also like very hard for a lot of people to do because a lot of people care too much about what other people think.
So true. I was just with my little nephew and we're all playing games together and he's focused on who finishes first, second, and third so much. And I said, focus on your score, little buddy. Try to beat your last score. Because he was bummed out. He's losing every time. But I said, you did better than your last time. Focus on your score. Don't focus on where you land, but try to beat your personal best. And it seemed to give him some sort of solace. So that's like a kind of a similar type lesson there.
Yeah. And I think just to dig into this a little bit, I wouldn't necessarily say that, because we still have to live in the world, right? So if the career that you've chosen naturally means like, let's say your desired career is to be a professional athlete, then yes, of course, you'll be competing with a lot of other people. And that's because by context, on the highest level, that's something that you've chosen. You want to live your life
100%
with
this,
100% this way.
Yeah, part of my life vision as a semi-pro poker player. I love it. But I do try to separate it. I try to distance myself from the attachment a little bit, which can be challenging because I'm very competitive.
Yeah, and that's the context that you're playing with. But at the end, when you look at the aspirations there, you want to be better than yesterday.
Yes.
With yourself. But if you're sick of the game, you can just easily just say, I don't want to play this game anymore and do something else.
Right.
But it's all about like you comparing your life to where it was before.
Yeah, comparison can be rough with the life vision category and just with general satisfaction. I mean, is comparison ever really a good idea? Comparison's good when you take a hard look at how good things have gotten. Gratitude often comes from comparison.
Correct.
But I think generally, when you start weighing yourself against others, it's like, that's a slippery slope, right?
Yeah, like reverse gap versus forward gap is a very different way of looking at things. If you're looking at forward gap, you're thinking about where you want to be and where you are right now, then that can get a little bit daunting. But if the reverse gap is what you're looking at, which is like, where am I right now versus where was I like 1-2 years ago? Especially if you're doing life book just 1 year ago.
Yes.
You'd be pretty happy about where you ended up.
Totally. I love it. You're speaking my language, man. I wanted to ask you, this kind of goes with the, kind of attachment to details, but how do we balance openness with life vision. You know, we're driving towards, we're trying to manifest and create and exert our willpower on the universe. But you can't take that too far because the universe is, you know, much more powerful than any one of us. You have to balance that with some sort of openness, some sort of fluidity. You know what I mean? Do you have any advice for that constant balance that Lifebook members are looking to achieve?
Yeah. So if we go to a certain level of, I would say like a different plane of conversation, then I would say that manifesting feels like you're forcing things to happen, like you're making things happen. And our minds are the most powerful things out there. Like you can literally like desire and think of something and act as if it's real and it'll happen.
Right.
But that's one-sided because you're making things happen. And then the other side of the spectrum is you're letting things happen.
Yes.
And the letting things happen has a lot to do with being in full attunement to whatever is really true to you. And that's why this is where I go, like, stick to principles based, like Lifebook vision and goals. Mm-hmm. But how do you get to principles based goals in the first place? And that's where I start shooting the premise section. Mm-hmm. Because the premises are like really your fundamental beliefs about life and who you are. And whether you like it or not, a lot of us have already been like formulated in terms of what makes us feel alive during our formative years in our life. Mm-hmm. So I know for a fact that I was the kid in the playground who runs around and sees like, okay, wait, nobody's playing and I want to play. So I start grabbing people and make up a game. And next thing you know, the whole playground is playing whatever game I was like thinking of. So that means every single part of my life and every single role that I play in my life as an adult, if it feels the same way as that, then I will excel. And I don't even have to exert too much effort in forcing things to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Because I will just naturally be good at it. So that's when I say, like, if you want to be able to really balance openness here, you got to go back to alignment. And you really have to examine your preliminary belief systems about what it means to be you. And then you start looking at all the things you've written down in your life book and say, like, does this actually serve the fundamental meaning of what it means to be Ezekiel?
Wow, that's a really comprehensive answer.
Yeah, that's when a lot of people get noodle-brained very quickly because they're like, oh, I didn't even think about like why I behave this way. Because oftentimes, a lot of people go into adulthood putting a lot of who they were, what made them feel alive as young people, thrown them off to the side and just ignored them as like, nope, this has no place in my life as an adult. When in fact, no, you learn to be an adult to survive in the world. But what makes you feel alive is when you start feeding both what was in you when you were young, made you feel alive when you were younger, combined with the, I don't want to say like survival and thriving instincts of that you've learned as an adult. You got to marry those two together. And that's when things really open up because it almost seems as if everything that you do is not just making things happen, but it's more like the whole universe is begging you to just, it's all here in front of you. Just take it. I'm throwing it all at you and it's going to be all effortless. Just keep moving forward as long as you stay true to whatever is really the path for you. So that's why for me, the premises section is extremely important, but at the same time, very commonly ignored by people.
I could not have asked for a better answer. You said a couple key things there that were totally true. The first thing you said was the alignment. You totally have to align yourself, like you said, with that. I don't want to say like biology, but like you said, we are formulated in some degree. You know, no matter how you think we are created with certain tendencies and proclivities and talents, for instance. Like you said, I can't tell you how many people I've seen throw away their talents because of life, as they would put it. Yeah. And it's just like that's so fascinating. If you align with those things, that's when you can really, really get success. And the other thing you said was, you know, everything's out in front of you already. And that's exactly right. It's almost like, I don't want to use the word capitalizing on what the universe has laid out in front of you, but it's almost like if you stay open enough, you'll find your direction, and then it's up to you to, you know, drive that engine, basically rev up that engine and make it go.
Yep. Human beings work in our vision works not in inclusions but in exclusions. So we tend to like even biologically, we tend to like just put horse blinders on and filter out things that you don't want, which is why like you can be so focused on something walking the street, even though there's like in your side peripheral vision, there's already something that's threatening and you don't see it because you're naturally filtering that out. People tend to look at life the same way. So if you find a way to like, okay, instead of horse blinding myself to the things that don't matter, let me horse blind myself to the things that do matter to me. But first you need to know what are those things that matter to you.
Right. That leads nicely into this next question. You know, so many people out there, Ezekiel, struggle with a lack of life vision, which is really tough. And then even more struggle with a lack of a one true calling or purpose, as a lot of people find it. You know, Lifebook is great because once you get clear on the first 11 categories, that usually adds up to a life vision. And the vast majority of people leave Lifebook with a crystal clear life vision that they can pursue towards. But they don't all necessarily have all the final answers there. And some of them are still really struggling to put that together. Do you have advice for those who are struggling to find a life purpose or a life vision?
Yeah, I notice a lot of this, especially for people who have really, really difficult lives. I mean, they're barely trying to get their neck above water, and then you're trying to ask them for a life vision. They can barely pay, like they're worrying about their next month's rent.
Right.
But what I would tell people is that actually the truth is every time, even people who've been doing Lifebook for a while that I've worked with, their life vision is temporary. Mm-hmm. Because they're changing as people, and they have the clarity of their vision is only as clear as how much they know about themselves.
Mm.
And that's a long process.
Yes.
of getting there. So if your life vision is a little bit vague, that's fine. The point is that you have one and that you're not lost. And then the other one that I would say, which is for people who really are lost, I would say, start by doing something that's meaningful and helpful. Just try not to be, for lack of a better term, just try not to be useless. Do something.
Contribute.
Contribute. Yeah, like do something that makes the people that you love or people around you happier and better. Or contribute to your community in some way. Because just the act of being a contributor already sends the right messages, both like biologically and also energetically, for you to start feeling like, hey, I belong here and I'm contributing to this greater picture of humanity. And naturally, that tends to bring back to you and gives you a lot of support that you need to get your neck above water, and that gives you space to actually think. So when in doubt, choose kindness. And it's okay if things are a little bit vague right now, is what I would tell people.
Because it'll clarify itself
over time.
I really like that a lot. That's great advice. And I liked what you said in the beginning, you know, it's temporary. I think people get so worried that they're going to choose the wrong path, that somehow it's going to be this permanent choice, or that they're going to fail, and they're scared of failure. And I try to tell people, I like what you said, is it's temporary. That's very reassuring that it can be changed. But also, you know, you should look forward to failing. That's how you learn. Move on to the next one. You know, I feel the faster you can fail, the faster you can learn. But I don't know if that's kind of a cynical route to take there. But you know what I'm trying to say here. I think that the permanency is what scares people.
Yeah, exactly. And to be honest, I think the feelings that you want every day will be fairly consistent once you get to a certain point of self-understanding. So that really shouldn't change that much. The manner of how they materialize into your life will probably be ever-changing. And then that's something that is the part of the beautiful part of life, because that means you get to have as many life experiences that makes you feel alive, and it still gives you the fundamental feelings that you want every single day.
Totally.
And besides, if you suddenly realize that your life vision is like has changed, that should be something that you should celebrate about, because that means you've learned and remembered what it means to be you more so that now you can course correct yourself into a life that's more you. That should be celebrated, not feared.
Mm-hmm.
Because how else are you going to know if you're moving in the right direction for yourself if you don't try? That's how you do it. Like you act, you get feedback, and then you readjust. That's basically the whole mantra of life anyway. And worst case scenario, it's not that you're living the wrong life. You just might be living more towards somebody else's life. You just need to course correct it to be more yours, you know?
Oh, my, I love that. That's genius, Ezekiel. I didn't know. I was going to ask you, how do we know if a life vision is the right one for us? But you kind of just answered it. What you've been saying basically this whole interview is when you distill it down to not the things that you want and even the way you want it to look in your life vision, but more about the way you want it to feel and the principles behind the structure of your life. You can't go wrong there. And like you said, you'll know when you're on the right path because that's when those things begin to feel good and they start manifesting, you know, in your perspective instantaneously a lot of the time.
Correct. Yeah. And then, which is why, like, one of the first lovely exercises that I give to people that I work with one on one, and trust me, like, I love it when C-level or like executives are told this. I was like, tell me one thing that you really enjoyed doing when you were in your teenage years that you seemed to lose track of time. And everybody would say things like, oh, I love to play video games, or I love to do this, or I went skateboarding in the park, or playing basketball, or whatever. And I just like, okay, do that once a week. And you can see the look on their faces because they're like, they spend 10, 12 hours working. And then they're like, now you're asking me to skateboard? And then what I'm really trying to get at there is like, as soon as they do that activity, maybe once, and they come back to me and they're like, oh my God, like I felt so alive after like living such a 10, 12 hour like slog of life. And I was like, okay, hang on to that feeling. Now imagine if that feeling is what you had for every single category of your life. And now they get the feeling of what it means to feel like something is in alignment.
I love it, man. That's so great. It's such a shame that we've lost sight of that. Do you feel that our days have been kind of sapped by distractions and responsibilities to others outside of our loved ones and ourselves and just kind of divided up into all these ways, and we haven't really left room for that which lights our fire and puts us in flow, which is, you know, one of the most important things at this stage in our development?
Well, I would say that, hey, the happiest people in the world are also some of the people who are not in the most economically developed countries out there. Mm-hmm. That should tell you quite a bit.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point.
Yeah, and why is it that in more developed countries, there's a lot more people who don't feel fulfilled and happy every day, or they feel lonely? That really says a lot, because I don't necessarily want to say that it's a distraction from actually living, but I would say I think they're just dealt a bad hand, because their entire social cultural context, mass media, what media is talking about, what they teach in schools, they're all teaching the reality and thriving in a materialistic society.
Yes.
And that's not great, you know? And then you spend the rest of your life trying to figure out how to go back to being a child. Great. That seems to be the cycle of life lately.
That's hilarious, man. You're right. But that's why, you know, Ezekiel, I don't want to, you know, sound corny or anything, but that's why I am so glad there are people out there like you who are dealing with this. I'm so glad there's people like Lyon Goodman and Joel Wade and companies like Mind Valley who are talking about this sort of thing. Like, that's how we learn and evolve and really, really evolve to the next level of consciousness. We have to have teachers out there. So yeah, I'm really grateful that there's a bunch of people out there like you and your team spreading this stuff around, you know?
Yeah. And, you know, I feel like everybody can help other people sort out their life vision. That's why I don't really like using the term being a coach for people's lives, because if you go out there spouting out about how life should be lived, then obviously a lot of people will start looking at you and being overly grandiose about things. But if you're already living this type of conscious lifestyle and you regularly share it with people you care about who are really willing to listen and interested, then that person will probably tell somebody else.
So
and they
true.
Will tell somebody else. And that's really how you do it. And something as very personal as how you live life is not something that you can just sell to people in like mass. You see, it's something extremely personal. So I prefer to do it on a one-on-one basis with people, or at least with the people closest to me, and really invest my time to do it.
But that's a good point. We can all be teachers by example, at the very least,
yeah,
of this conscious lifestyle.
Yep.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Wow, man. This really was a pleasure, Ezekiel. Before we wrap it up, though, we got to talk about this challenge, the Life Vision Challenge. Yeah. Can you tell me about that?
Yeah. So for this month, what I'm going to like, I don't want to even really say challenge people to do as much as it is like I'm inviting people to like step up and evolve their way of living life book is really more of going through the process of how do you look at your life vision and giving people tools and principles to be able to like constantly re-examine that. Because as you live the life book lifestyle, you will learn more about yourself. And then at the same time, as you learn about yourself, you start looking more at things that actually matter to you and not matter to you. And then you have to constantly evolve this. But it's very easy to get lost in the ocean if you're a fish who's been swimming in it the entire time. Like, it's very easy to get lost in the ocean of your life. Mm-hmm. So I'll be giving people like exercises and tools to be able to do that so that they can constantly re-examine their life visions on a regular basis with or without help from anybody. And that one as well. And at the same time, like we're going to do one of the things that people find it really, really difficult to do, which is celebrate themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
a lot of, we tend to give ourselves a lot of like, for lack of a better term, crap, but we tend to praise a lot of like other people, but we tend to not do that for ourselves because of like societal conditioning. But you've just committed yourself to a way of like conscious living that puts your life first. And I think that is something that you need to constantly celebrate as well. That will be part of the challenge. And the last part of it will be a lot of really, how do you get yourself to commit to a life that has a vision, constantly has a vision, rather than a life vision which is like concrete and just like static. Mm. Because that's what we're really aspiring for. Live a life that has meaning and has a vision, even if it changes a lot.
That's lovely. I love it, man. I'm really looking forward to that. Everyone, stay tuned for that coming this month. This has been fantastic, Ezekiel. Do you have any final words before we sign off here? I don't know if you want to let the listeners know where they can get at you or just any final words for the Lifebook listeners.
Wow. I mean, if people want to find out more about me, I tend to be fairly private about it. I've actually stopped actively going out there and taking on and putting myself out there for a while because I'm also somebody who's in the life journey at the moment, and there's a lot of shifts happening in my life.
Ooh,
so I tend to be more inwards at the moment.
Sure.
But I would say that if you want to know more about me, the easiest way to find that is through my LinkedIn profile at the moment. And then that's where people can also get in touch with me if they want help or to work with me on their own personal lives or anything along those lines. I think that would be the best way to find me at the moment, since awesome. I'm a bit on the down low at the moment.
Fantastic. That is fine, my friend. Ezekiel, this was a pleasure. This really was one of the most interesting and unique life vision interviews I've done. So thank you for coming on the show, and thank you for sharing your wisdom with all the members and myself.
Yeah, thank you, Jordan. And to everybody listening, I will see you all this month.
That's right. Everybody, thank you so much for listening. This is Jordan River and Ezekiel Vicente signing off, wishing you an extraordinary day. We'll see you next time on the Lifebook Member Podcast.